deposit is going to. And well, your direct deposit information is then changed, and they now have your Social Security payments. So just think about that. Well, that's it for today's show, and I hope you learned a lot from it, and I hope you're going to go fix your email signatures and not embed graphics in them. All right.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM radio, your gateway to public radio. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus, certainly a studio location, which is high atop the ultra-modern, full-on, cutting-edge Center for Bioscience and Information Technology building. Today, I am honored to introduce to our listening audience my guest, Ms. Annette Weatherby. And Ms. B, as she is known to her students, is a National Board Certified Teacher, or NBCT, as you'll hear throughout the broadcast, serving in the Special Education Department of Bradford High School here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. She will be discussing the NBC distinction, the certification process, and what unique characteristics those educators who are qualified as NBCT bring to the elements of the learning environment, in other words, classroom, campus, larger professional community, during the show this morning. Now, from a professional standpoint, I'm fortunate to be familiar with the wide range of services that she does in the classroom and have worked with her in the past. So that without any further ado, we'll get started with an icebreaker and some introductions. And by all means, good morning, Annette, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chuck.
And as is customary, I'd like to break the ice with our listeners, certainly as I just mentioned, briefly by allowing you to explain your connection with the NBC process, your educational experience, background, credentials, and the role education has played in your current position. So I know it's a big mouthful, but if we could get started with how did you first find out about the NBC, the National Board Certification, as it's described in their website, movement, and going from there, even a backup where you went to school, where you prepared yourself professionally, and fill in some of those blanks.
Well, to start off with, you need to know I'm an anomaly. When I came into education, I started at Central Michigan University back in the 80s, and I won't say how far back.
That would be the 1980s.
But I had the opportunity to go to school, and I was going to be a special ed teacher. At that time, mainstreaming was a big push.
Ah, yes.
Yep. And at the time, I was going through the educational process, preparing to become a teacher, and there was a philosophical disagreement of how they were preparing teachers, how to teach, and how to support the students. And so I ended up taking a different path, and I went into the private sector working with persons with developmental disabilities. I've worked with at Goodwill, Lamb's Farm.
Well, I was just going to say Lamb's Farm. I have some insider information. Wonderful, wonderful organization.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And eventually, my journey led me to KUSD at Bradford High School.
Okay. All right. And what is your current classroom assignment?
I am an ID teacher. They changed the titles.
Yes.
Intellectual disabilities.
Okay.
At Bradford High School.
Which for most people would have, if they'd gone into an older dictionary, seen cognitive disabled, and before that some other references that were specified in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders and the DSM and its various versions, and we are now up to number 5. But so your credentials started at Central Michigan. You were working in some of the community-bound or community-based agencies. Have you done any work specifically with Kenosha Achievement Center locally, or just in partnership as students go out into the community and so forth?
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. It's a very good organization, but my experience started in Illinois.
Okay. And that just paints a perspective for the listening audience that certainly locally we have Kenosha Achievement Center. In fact, they were the guests on my last show, and the education programming that they're involved in, as well as their counterparts in Racine that people are aware of, LCS Lakeside Curative, and Careers Industries. So beyond Central Michigan, and you're from Michigan originally,
yes.
So that's what started the journey, and then you found your way in this direction. What was the drive in your family? Why does education matter to you? This is the name of the show. I promote it throughout the show and especially at the end. But why does education matter to you?
Well, I am the first woman in my family to graduate from college.
Wow. Okay. And it's not the most unusual story, but this is, you know, we hear it all the time. Here's someone live and in person that's really, even at this point in time, that has experienced that.
Yes. And then when I was younger, my mom, who had not gone to college but was a professional, volunteered in an educational setting. She also always liked to tutor and help the school districts. And it was a self-contained school at the time when anyone with special needs were separated.
Right.
And they were very specialized and they were very good at what they did, but it was isolated.
Sure.
And now we have more of an inclusion model.
And the inclusion model is an outgrowth of what people at one time, in fact, still do refer to as mainstreaming.
Exactly.
Although mainstreaming was a completely different model,
mm-hmm.
it eventually led to inclusion with pullouts and so forth and so on, which has its own pros and cons, and that's not the topic of this particular show. But it at least, again, paints some perspective. And so growing up in that environment, you saw that education was going to be important to your personal life, your personal direction.
Absolutely. I saw my mom, she brought me into the classroom with her as a volunteer, working with students that people said couldn't learn or didn't have the ability. And I saw that that was a lie.
So you built a value and an ethic early on.
Oh, yes. All kids can learn.
Okay. Yes, and that's a very important mantra, even as especially special education people talk about their lives, their professional direction. So you knew that college was going to be important. Was that especially, was it difficult for you, or were you just always a good student?
I was always a good student in the sense that testing was easier for me.
Okay.
So that was okay. But I got excited about learning. I think that was my big hook. And I had some excellent teachers.
Uh-huh.
So.
The excitement about teaching and working in this profession, in this field, ever motivated by bad teachers that you had?
I had a few of those. I remember my math teacher who basically said that girls couldn't do math, and I went on to be able to do calculus and all of that. So,
okay,
yes.
Yeah. And maybe that was this person's secret agenda to put the carrot out there, if you want to call it that. But this is a great, interesting story. So that for folks that are in the community that have a Central Michigan background, there's an alum out there that you can make contact with at Bradford High School and know something about your story also. But so, and your current classroom assignment is intellectually disabled. And as we talked about earlier, and we may as well revisit, how did you become interested or even find out about National Board Certification?
Well, when I came into the district, I was in a program to be certified as a special education teacher. I was under an emergency license.
Okay.
And I was a part of a CESA program. It was a scholarship program to specifically get special ed teachers. And I was going through a master's program as well with Silver Lake College. I did not complete that mm-hmm. at the time because it only went as far as my certification.
Okay.
And I was able to become fully certified as a teacher, And once I finished that, I was thinking, what do I need to do to be a better teacher? And I have heard rumblings about national boards because a person came in, Angela, she came into the district.
Angela Hout.
Yes.
Okay.
And she put out some information, and I joined her class to begin that process. At the time, there was also scholarships available for people that wanted to get into national boards, and that was through the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay. And so, and this was about what time frame?
Oh.
Because you've been in the district, I think,
This will be my 14th year.
Yes, okay. Slightly longer than I've been. But that's so, I know that we have heard about or seen in emails and so forth information about national board certification. It's just sometimes a matter of, well, you can almost say who knows what, that gets someone to that orientation or to that first meeting.
Yeah, the timing. I believe it was 2010.
Okay, all right. And typically as... people understand and learn more about national board certification. There's a very extensive website and that people can visit and find out more about the mission and the history and the focus and the goals and so forth and so on. And it's described really as a movement, and I'll certainly let you address that. But in having said that, how does it differ so that if someone is a national board certified teacher, how do they differ from someone who has their regular licensure from Department of Public Instruction, DPI licensure, and is it always content area focused?
Well, I think national boards is a process more than a certification.
And even they describe it as a continuum. It doesn't stop.
Once, right. I'm... quote, licensed for 10 years, but my process continues. I'm always learning, reflective, staying involved, because good teachers always reflect on how to stay good teachers.
We have to if we truly believe that learning is lifelong, and we describe those members of our classrooms as lifelong learners.
Exactly. And National Board provided a venue where I could go in and use practical application. It wasn't just sitting down and talking about my craft. It was you make a plan, you execute the craft, you do a lesson plan, you evaluate it, you videotape it, you write about it, you go back to say, what did I do, why did I do it, and how could I make it better?
And you visit and observe other National Board certified teachers, either by video, vicariously, if you want to call it that, even live, or in a live classroom to observe and sit and listen and put your own margin notes, so to speak, in your own personal notebook. You might even call it you're creating your own concordance in a way. The process that we're talking about here is different than, and I've forgive me because I didn't hear it. And now you did your undergraduate work at Central Michigan, and in what area was that?
It was in special education.
Okay, it wasn't.
I was going to be a special educator, but I ended up graduating with a degree in psychology.
Aha. Okay.
And a minor in philosophy, which is so helpful.
And it can be, as you describe things about the process of, say, national board certification, I suppose. Having done that, do you see national board certification? And someone who is a specialist or has received their degree in a content area as having a greater advantage? Because I'm getting to something here, because you are a remarkable hero to me. But go ahead. Let's hear about that first. Does it really lend itself well to someone who is in a content area, English, math,
absolutely,
science?
Because what they're doing is it'll make them hone in on their content area. You become an expert on your content.
Okay.
And it's not just someone telling you information, but you taking information and applying it and building those lessons and then analyzing them and going over them. And then you're submitting them to your peers to say, is this up to National Board standards?
And creating an interest and a value and a curiosity in inquiry.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I said this for a reason, in that you don't have that luxury. You don't have a content area because you're in special education and it's interdisciplinary. So you are one of the only people I've ever heard of that's National Board certified in special education.
Yeah, it's from early childhood to young adult. And
Wow, that makes it easier.
Yeah, so when there's a testing portion, which was intimidating.
I was going to say, you can't leave off and say, okay, there's my English thing. Someone there is going to say, oh, wait a minute now. You are also doing math. You're also doing independent living. You are also doing employability. You're also doing some science in these applications. Fit that in, and you finish the certification.
Well, yes, I did. You make it sound like I'm very impressive, but it was wonderful.
It is
wonderful
to me, because this is different than attending a conventional college classroom master's degree level application of theory and philosophy and so forth that you were talking about. But let's talk a little bit then about the completion process, or at least connect some of the dots on special education and how the National Board Certification fulfillment process for you was, even though it's ongoing, mm-hmm. how it's different than for somebody with an AP honors class in English and they are honing their craft in the classroom as an English teacher under the National Board Certification standard.
Well, when you're going through the National Board process, you're more self-driven. You've got to be very disciplined, and you have to go out and make those lessons and make those connections. That's why KUSD helps by having a classroom where we would all get together and say, this is our plan. These are the standards. This is what makes a good teacher a good teacher. How do we show evidence? It's all mm-hmm. about evidence. How do we show evidence that we are teaching our kids?
So despite the initiative from, and someone might be saying, oh, they're probably Common Core integrated or something like that. That's not necessarily the case.
No, it's about teaching kids. It's mm-hmm. about students learning. It's the art of teaching, but the evidence is students are learning. If I give the best lesson ever and my students don't get it, I failed.
You failed, not them.
Exactly.
Right. And this is despite whatever curricular delivery.
Exactly.
I should step back. It is about curricular delivery as opposed to the curricular model, which sometimes that's what's popular, maybe sometimes people could say trendy. What's trendy in Arkansas for a while gets put into their curriculum, and that's what the teachers are mandated to deliver. And so if in your case, you're ready to adapt and do what is necessary on the basis of student achievement.
Exactly.
Within whatever framework it is. And so that's, I would suspect, how National Board Certification is conditioning the members of this movement. And I keep referring to a movement because that's how they certainly describe it. Do you feel at a disadvantage with special education as opposed to a straight, yep, I'm a math content area person, or I'm an English content area, or you can do calculus, so you said.
I wouldn't say it's a disadvantage. I would use it to my benefit. I like that challenge.
Sure, okay.
So there's a variety, and I'm never bored because I have to stay on top of a lot of different areas.
And my original background first personally was physical education. That is also interdisciplinary, and I see where there is that importance where you have to spend a lot of time in personal inquiry and with interdisciplinary concerns and learning how math is delivered and identifying the learning styles, needs, strengths, as well as weaknesses of each individual learner,
mm-hmm.
because that's what the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, on top of everything, mandates those people involved in special education or delivering services to students who are eligible to receive special education services in accordance with their individual education plan. And this is a lot of legal, almost jargon mumbo jumbo, but it is a fact of life and it's what we live with.
Absolutely.
And what particularly, to help the listening audience, and I know you have some material to present from what you have presented to the school district, What works best for you? What do you think was your advantage? Because you finished the National Board Certification in a remarkably short period of time.
Yes, I don't even think they allow candidates to do it in a year anymore.
Oh, so you were an overachiever in not only on the in the time frame you came up on the power curve real quick, as well as in an exceedingly, I believe, difficult content area of special education, because you had to show not only an understanding of special education and its requirements, but at a number of different grade levels or age levels and developmental stages.
Right. But a lot of the practical work that I did was specific to my kids in my classroom.
Okay. Good.
And that's what made it a remarkable process. I took a student's behavior that was having issues in the classroom and was able to analyze it within that framework, and working with the parents and going through the process of asking questions. And when I finished that portion of the National Board Certification, it was my strongest, it was a paper, but it okay. ended up spilling out into not a behavior plan, but a way to interact with a student that helped him be successful. And
So the greatest success was not necessarily acquisition of, cognitive processes, per se, but how, by addressing behavioral issues that might have interfered with that progress, now you were able to bring him forward.
Exactly. And it wasn't a class I took. It was that challenge of going through national boards, and that venue, they challenged me. You have to look at behaviors, analyze one of your students, make a plan. Does it work? And that was required. And I put it all together in a packet, wrote it all up, and okay. sent it to them. And when they analyzed it, they said, yes, this is a good piece of work as well.
And this is a solid plan. And don't stop here, because you have so many more students with similar issues.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good framework or springboard.
Exactly.
That you can apply to different students. So now you have a template of success that do you go back to it, or is this evolving?
I think it's always evolving, because every
leading
student
question.
Yeah, it is a leading question. It's every student is different, and sometimes what they need on any given day could be different. You know, if mm-hmm. they're getting sick, behavior can be affected by illness, by hunger. You know, people talk about poverty, but it comes down to are they hungry? What's the environment like? So I'm always learning and applying it, I hope.
Yeah, and it sounds like you are, and that's because that is the expectation of the movement. So first I'm going to do a reintro, which is my requirement, and then we will talk a little bit specifically about your presentation, how you might describe this to others, and so that and I have a piece to introduce that. But in the meantime, this is Education Matters on WGTD Radio 91.1 FM. And I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and my guest this morning is Ms. Annette Weatherby, and she is a National Board Certified Teacher, or NBCT, serving the Special Education Department of Bradford High School here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We're discussing the NBC distinction and the certification process, and what unique characteristics those educators who are qualified as NBCT bring to the elements of the learning environment, and we're discussing that this morning. So if someone was to visit and just type in NBCT, which you can do, in a generic Google search, even Foxfire, people will see there's a very complete overview of the NBC mission, history, and vision, some of the jargon, some of the conversation, which people can visit online to learn more. So if you were able to touch on some of the more conspicuous details in an orientation that I know you've presented, even to Dr. Sue, who values this, and boy, you talk about another hero in the education community. She is right there. What would that sound like, or what would that look like to people? So they say, well, what's the big difference between someone with a master's degree and an NBCT? And because when we equate hours to credits, typically about 15 hours of instructor contact is what equates to one credit, and that's a rough correlation, you know, from high school, driven by college and so forth and so on. There was a tremendous number of hours that you were involved with, just with in contact with your mentors, and then there was the preparation stuff that you had to do at home.
Well, there was things that I did at home, what I did in the classroom, the planning part of it. Another aspect was a lesson plan,
sure,
where I actually collaborated with our speech therapist. And
okay,
when you're
related services people,
because my specialty right now is literacy, and I teach literacy across the content area, so I use social studies, science, and English language arts to teach reading, and it looks different than it would in the elementary school because we're now in high school and there's different standards, and we have to like piece that all together.
Sure,
but for national boards, you take a lesson and say, what do I want the kids to learn? Why is it important? How are they going to learn it? How are they going to apply it after they've learned it?
Do you define that yourself, or is that something that the students inform you about also? Why do I have to learn all this?
Well, my kids are usually very cooperative. I have the best students, and just they're wonderful.
Well, you bring that out in them also. There's a certain portion of that that I think that it would be very, very difficult for NBC people to say, well, you've got to do this to engage the student. You just do that naturally.
Yeah, the National Board Certified Teachers that I know, and there's a few of us, and we've gotten together. They are an amazing bunch of individuals that are also very dedicated to their classroom, and they're always looking at how can I promote the learning of my students.
Okay.
And the process, we were taught that during the process. And when you videotape your lesson and go back and say, okay, what did I do? How did I do it? How can I make it better? And then you package it all together and give it to somebody else to analyze.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So you want to give them, quote, your best work.
Understood.
But you do that many times. It's not just a one-shot deal. You keep...
So is student input prior to that important? Or I know you said they're cooperative, but again, why do I have to learn this? Doesn't that... One would think that that would inform how you put that material together.
I do take their interests into account, but it comes down to, in special education, is it practical, functional?
Bingo.
Will it help them? Will it move
integrate
them forward?
Into the community, the greater community.
Exactly.
Yeah, and in whatever capacity.
Exactly. You know. I want my kids to be as independent as possible, to have their own voice. And when any lesson that I teach in English or science is, how do I promote my students having their own voice, that they have control, that they have power? Because nobody wants to feel helpless.
No. And that can be either in the classroom or getting on the bus to go across town to watch a movie with a friend or something of that nature, which is, or going to a job, whether that be a career or volunteer, which is something that we encourage as an important part of community life. You do have some material, and the conspicuous difference, though, that our listeners might be aware of, that would distinguish you from the fine detail that's in the NBC, National Board Certification, website material, or even a person who has completed that master's degree in education in curriculum, for example. How would that, are there specific differences that you see and can discuss that would be more conspicuous or more transparent to someone in the community saying, well, how many NBC teachers are there, by the way, in our district? Do you happen to know? Or
I think it's 11, but it may be more.
And I wonder if that's a reflection, and I've got to do – this just dawned on me, and that's what I love about this show is in speaking with the guests and my experts that I bring in here who are going to forget a lot about more their topic areas than I'll ever know. I know that approximately 3% of teachers across the board are National Board Certified teachers. I'm just curious as to whether the 11 represents that 3% in our district or not, and that's just a mental note I've got to make. But you say you get together as a group every once in a while. Do you inform other teachers on your campuses?
I know I do, and I've talked to other people about becoming a National Board Certified Teacher. You have to have been in the classroom for 3 years before you can start the process, though. They don't want newbies coming in.
Right.
I know some
just
individuals...
Just collecting certifications and resume bullets and so forth.
Right. Yeah. And this is no dispersion on a master's degree. Some just go from bachelor's to master's to PhD, and it's sequential. And National Board also looks at practical experience.
Right.
Because you need to have the experience before you can reflect on it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. In a different and you bring life experience from outside of education into education, which is remarkable. And I think certainly just a great help. I think it's something also that people in education reform are looking at, legislators and everything else, to bring that element into the classroom, otherworldly types of experiences. But so when, and whether someone visits your classroom or not, is the most transparent thing that a parent might hear when a student comes home and, what did you do in school today? What typically might they hear about what they experienced or did in Ms. B's class, as opposed to another, the teacher came in and said, we're going to do this today, and these are the formulas that we have to learn, and we started writing them down and learned different ways to memorize them and so forth. Is that fair to ask that way? Does it look that much different when a National Board certified teacher presents and delivers curriculum?
I think the National Board teacher is more conscious of how it impacts their students. Are their students learning that they want to look at how they learn? Are they getting their message across? Do they understand it? Can they apply it?
Okay.
Application is key. I can't speak against other programs because I'm not in that, but I know the practicality is the best thing that attracted me to National Boards. It was hands-on experience that I worked in my classroom, and it made me a better teacher, and I was recognized for that, but the process itself was amazing.
Okay, and the people that teach it, because you talked about being taught and you were in classes. Now, these are National Board certified teachers from different areas, or are they from this area? Okay, so they come into the district and conduct workshops, or do you go to other locations?
Angela
Hout. Yeah.
Yes, she's did a class for KUSD that helps anyone interested in the National Board process. That's where I came in.
Okay.
I went to her class, and there was a group of eight of us, I think.
Sure.
That we all got together, and we started the process together. And some of us finished in a year, some of us finished in 2 years, others finished in three, and some, they still went through the process, but they were never certified. It just depends upon the individual.
Okay. Is there a deadline for the certification process by which, because you mentioned 1 year, 2 year?
I think it's 3 years, but you can always restart.
You can always restart. Okay. And this is a lifelong, as you said, journey and and a continuum. So if you were to present any more information to someone, another principal or something of that nature, what would it sound like? What would be some of the items that you would key on?
If you want to have your teachers have an experience, National Board certification is something to help promote. It's very practical, whether they're a specialist in reading, science, social studies. You can get very specific on your content area.
Mm-hmm.
Also, early childhood, special education. It runs the gamut. One of the appeals for National Boards is that the state of Wisconsin does recognize it as well. And so I am licensed also as a master educator because of my National Boards.
Okay. And so this is a mindset of application.
Mm-hmm.
And what distinguishes it certainly is the focus on each individual student. And yet in application, would you say that you are doing more and required to do more differentiation, for example, and offering in whatever curriculum that you're delivering, taking into consideration the student who is more visual or more kinesthetic or something of that nature? Is that an expectation in the lessons that you develop as an NBC teacher?
I would say as a special ed teacher, absolutely. You have to differentiate.
Yes.
And I know teachers who are not National Board certified that do differentiate as well, and they're good teachers. I would say to stretch them and grow them even more. If they would go through the process, it would make them even better.
Okay. And what part of the process would be different that would grow them as opposed to the conventional preparation?
National Boards has practical application. It's okay. In your classroom. It's in with your lessons. You're not fabricating anything in an academic bubble.
It
is life learning.
Okay, and life application.
Absolutely.
So as opposed to a student who is in professional preparation classes at, let's just say, East Stroudsburg State in Pennsylvania and must go to a school and do some field observation, write a reflection paper, that's not really building their practical skills.
No, they get some ideas, but what they come away with is, well, that was nice. And I don't, as a National Board Certified Teacher, I don't want, oh, that's nice. I want that makes an impact. That makes a difference.
Okay, and that's where instead of just going into the classroom to observe, if that is part one of your expectations or a requirement, likelihood is you're going to have to stand and deliver.
Absolutely.
In that it's not okay. I get an alibi and see I've got this clipboard here, so I'm not part of this. It's if I'm in the classroom, I'm a participant, and not merely a spectator or a recipient. And I think that makes the difference so that everything that you do in that capacity is accountable and is part of a documentation process that, okay, you've finished up. Now, how would you redo this or how would you address you did this part really, really well? What do you think you missed? Or are those some of the questions that you would hear from an evaluator or a supervisor or whoever is overseeing the National Board certification process?
Those are some of the questions, but those are the questions you are ingrained to ask yourself.
You're encouraged to ask yourself, self-reflection.
Every single time.
Self-reflection.
And so then that's part of that process. And we have other teachers as sounding boards. And if you're going into the classroom to say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and you write about it, they look at your writing and say, okay, explain, why did you do what you did, and how can you make it better? And that's what it comes down to.
If it needs to be made better.
You can always be better.
Okay. And that's maybe a helpful part of the orientation and conditioning, that mindset that I was talking about, you build in your value system going from a teacher with a certain number of expectations because you're now excited to be in the classroom at Bradford High School, for example. And I used East Stroudsburg State, by the way. It's now a university. That's where I went. And I just wanted to use I didn't want to cast aspersions at any education institution in particular. It could be North Dakota State, for all I know. But was what I was getting at. And a lot of those students oftentimes do get field observation hour requirements that a lot of them would probably say, geez, I wish I had that time back, and I would much more gladly have been involved with actually getting involved with students and in developing my craft, as you call it, with instructor contact with the student as a practitioner so that I can improve my abilities. And I think that to their credit, the professional preparation schools are doing more of that. Now that there's an architecture of accomplished teaching that in the five core propositions, teachers are committed to students and their learning. Teachers know the subjects they teach and are responsible for managing and monitoring. Think systematically and members of learning communities. These are some of the points that people can read about with the National Board Certification. Is the professional learning community still a big part and focus of activity at, for example, Bradford High School? And does National Board Certification actually enter into that professional learning community mindset or
I think where I'm at, their focus is always helping teachers be better teachers.
Sure.
And
okay.
Be self-reflective.
Mm-hmm.
I would see as going for National Board Certification as a tool and part of the process that could reward you for doing that as well.
Sure. And I'm there's a great sense, and I would think that you would verify, of cohesion at Bradford High School. And I think that everything that when one visits that campus, it speaks to that.
Oh, it's an amazing place.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've just started the school year and so forth. And is the process to enter this and pursue National Board Certification especially difficult? And how does it? Well, we know that it differs from other advanced degree certifications and credentials based on the requirement and expectation to be actively and practically involved in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone was interested, if there was a teacher that was interested in getting started, how would they do it? And this is a multi-loaded question here, but I want to get it in before we have to close because the show has gone on this morning very, very quickly with a lot of information that I think is going to be helpful not only to our listeners, but those professionals who happen to be listening to the show and saying, my goodness, I never knew that National Board Certification was so helpful. So is and potentially valuable to the practitioner. Is there a time which is any more advantageous? You know, in other words, we're just started the school year the other day. Is it too late for this year, or is there a cyclic consideration that paperwork has to be done by a certain time, or an application, or something of that nature?
Well, now is the time to do your considering, decide if you wanted to sign up, mm-hmm. and then you can begin the process this year. It's not too late. It's not too late. I started in the summertime. But you can begin the process now. More information will actually be coming out of those interested. I think KUSD as a whole will support a teacher going for their national boards.
Absolutely.
They're very supportive. So you'll be hearing more information. If you want to find out, you can go to the National Board certification site.
Sure.
And that will give you information as well. You also can go to DPI. Because they have stipends available to help reimburse you.
Whoa.
After the process is done. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Okay. That's an enormous advantage.
It
and
is.
Inducement, I guess, or encouragement. Because I would think, and I'm just thinking out loud here, that the teacher who is fairly recently involved in the certification process and licensure and so forth and so on, that has 3 years in the classroom and might want to consider this, does this support the license renewal requirement for a professional development plan, a PDP?
It replaces it. At
ding,
least
ding, ding, ding. This is what for the reasoning thinking person that is in the classroom and thinking, my goodness, I've got to go through the PDP anyway. This is a very, very accurate reflection of what the PDP, excuse me, the professional development plan for license renewal is all about.
Yes.
Wow. And I wanted to get that. It's not just a plug. It's a very important element of efficiency that I think that we're doing real well with when we consider how important this process is and can be. Now, any last minute alibis before we close?
I just want to thank you for having me.
This was my pleasure, and I've wanted to do this for a long time and get this information out there. I think it's hugely important not only for the listening audience to be aware of, but also any professionals and budding professionals that are in the listening audience at this time to take in, you know, keep in mind. And certainly if before they see you again or something of that nature, they could always go to the central office.
Absolutely.
And get information about that. Well, this has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1, your gateway to public radio. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and on today's show, my guest has been Ms. Annette Weatherby. And Ms. B is a National Board Certified teacher serving in the Special Education Department of Bradford High School here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We discussed the NBC's distinction or movement, the certification process, and what unique characteristics those educators who are qualified as NBCT teachers bring to the elements of the education or learning environment. We're especially fortunate as a community to be so richly influenced by the talent and high quality of classroom application that she and her colleagues bring to to student achievement in that environment. And her dedicated commitment to student success and lifelong learning is in very, very well wrapped up and demonstrated as a National Board Certified teacher because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Kenosha Symphony is celebrating a new and expanded season by holding a reception and silent auction Sunday, September 18th at the Manor House. Cuisine by Mary Radigan, music by KSO members, admission $75, tickets, KenoshaSymphony.org.